A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, KSL News Time now, 8 o'clock. It's Tuesday, September 28th. This is Utah's Morning News. I'm Tim Hughes.
And I'm Amanda Dixon. Right now, downtown, 71 degrees.
Looks like we might have a bit of a fuel spill on southbound 15 in Salt Lake City. I'm Andy Farnsworth.
We're following developing news this hour. Witnesses and police discovered a shooting victim in South Jordan last night while they were investigating a car crash.
We have an accident scene, but that's not where the shots took place.
This morning, investigators are trying to figure out who fired the shots. KSL News Radio's Mary Richards is live with more. Mary?
Amanda, South Jordan police say a woman had been shot twice and then was driving down a major street and veered into the opposite lane. Darren King says his wife did the best she could as that car came toward her.
And my wife did a really good job of avoiding a worse collision. She had almost stopped completely before the car hit her head on. And so it was at an angle. And the QX80 is large, and it was a small Dodge that rammed into her.
She and the kids inside her car are okay. The other woman was taken to the hospital, and police need to talk to her. They think the shooting happened nearby. They're looking for two people witnesses say may have run away from the scene. Live, Mary Richards, KSL News Radio.
We have breaking news on KSL. We told you that Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman Mark Milley, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, and U.S. Central Command General Kenneth McKenzie would testify before the Senate Armed Services Committee. That's happening right now, and General Milley has the microphone.
Broke its affiliation with them. We, the United States, adhered to every condition. In the fall of 2020, my analysis was that an accelerated withdrawal without meeting specific and necessary conditions, risks losing the substantial gains made in Afghanistan, damaging U.S. worldwide credibility, and could precipitate a general collapse of the ANSF and the Afghan government, resulting in a complete Taliban takeover or general civil war. That was a year ago. My assessment remained consistent throughout. Based on my advice, and the advice of the commanders, then Secretary of Defense Esper submitted a memorandum on 9 November recommending to maintain U.S. forces at a level between about 2,500 and 4,500 in Afghanistan until conditions were met for further reduction. 2 days later, on 11 November 2020, I received an unclassified signed order directing the United States military to withdraw all forces from Afghanistan no later than 15 January 2021. After further discussions regarding the risks associated with such a withdrawal, the order was rescinded. On 17 November, we received a new order to reduce levels to 2,500 plus enabling forces no later than 15 January. When President Biden was inaugurated, there were approximately 3,500 U.S. troops, 5,400 NATO troops, and 6,300 contractors in Afghanistan with a specified task of train, advise, and assist, along with a small contingent of counterterrorism forces. The strategic situation at inauguration was stalemate. The Biden administration, through the National Security Council process, conducted a rigorous interagency review of the situation in Afghanistan in February, March, and April. During this process, the views of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, all of us, the CENTCOM Commander, General McKenzie, the U.S. 4A Commander, General Miller, and myself were all given serious consideration by the administration. We provided a broad range of options in our assessment of their potential outcomes. The cost, benefit, risk to force, and risk to mission were evaluated against the national security objectives of the United States. On 14 April, the President announced his decision, and the U.S. military received a change of mission to retrograde all U.S. military forces, maintain a small contingency force of 600 to 700 to protect the embassy in Kabul until the Department of State could coordinate contractor security support, and also to assist Turkey to maintain the Karzai International Airport and transition the U.S. military to an over-the-horizon counterterrorism support and security force assistance. It is clear, it is obvious, the war in Afghanistan did not end on the terms we wanted, with the Taliban now in power in Kabul. Although the NEO was unprecedented and is the largest air evacuation in history, evacuating 124,000 people, it came at an incredible cost of 11 Marines, one soldier, and a Navy corpsman. Those 13 gave their lives so that people they never met will have an opportunity to live in freedom. And we must remember that the Taliban was and remains a terrorist organization, and they still have not broken ties with Al-Qaeda. I have no illusions who we are dealing with. It remains to be seen whether or not the Taliban can consolidate power or if the country will further fracture into civil war. But we must continue to protect the United States of America and its people from terrorist attacks coming from Afghanistan. A reconstituted Al-Qaeda or ISIS with aspirations to attack the United States is a very real possibility. And those conditions, to include activity in ungoverned spaces, could present themselves in the next 12 to 36 months. That mission will be much harder now, but not impossible, and we will continue to protect the American people. Strategic decisions have strategic consequences. Over the course of four presidents, 12 secretaries of defense, 7 chairmen, 10 CENTCOM commanders, 20 commanders in Afghanistan, hundreds of congressional delegation visits, and 20 years of congressional oversight, there are many lessons to be learned. Two, specific to the military, that we need to take a look at, and we will, is did we mirror image the development of the Afghan National Army? And the second is the rapid collapse, unprecedented rapid collapse, of the Afghan military.
Conference, or not a press conference, this is a hearing before the Senate Armed Services Committee. This is the Joint Chiefs Chairman, General Mark Milley, testifying, and we'll monitor the rest of his testimony and bring you as much as we can here on KS on his radio.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it. I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story, the struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.